Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Because the President's News Conference and NPR's follow-up analysis ran so far into the first hour of our show, we have decided to reschedule PETA President Ingrid Newkirk so that we can give our interview with her the entire hour we think it deserves. For the rest of this hour, therefore, I would like to open the phones right now at 1-800-933-5372 and the email box think@kera.org to talk to you about your initial impressions of the President's News Conference, where he talked about everything from health care to the economy to the disturbing rise of violence in Iran against demonstrators angry with the outcome of this month's presidential elections, in which incumbent President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad claimed an overwhelming victory over his more moderate opponent. So give us a call now at 1-800-933-5372 and tell us what struck you as most interesting. What do you think about the questions about Iran, the consequences from the U.S. perspective for violence against protesters, whether or not the U.S. should intervene in a stronger way than it has thus far, taking what amounts to a wait-and-see approach about what's happening right now? Also, the president, people were very interested in his discussion of his ongoing struggle with tobacco and cigarette use. Of course, this week he signed new legislation that will give the FDA unprecedented power to regulate the tobacco that is in cigarettes and other tobacco products designed for consumers. He also mentioned that he was not yet ready to create a second stimulus plan, even with unemployment reaching double digits in the next few weeks, it's expected. Unemployment in the North Texas area appears to be just slightly lower than that at this point and in better shape than in many other parts of the country. Again, our number is 1-800-933-5372. Also want to talk to you about whether or not you think the president is receiving the same level of media scrutiny as his predecessors recently in the Oval Office, or the same amount of support as his recent predecessors. Again, our number, 1-800-933-5372, and that's where we find Charles in Dallas. Hi, Charles.
Hello. I just wanted to say that I thought the line that Obama delivered on the question of whether or not a public health plan would drive private insurers out of business, I thought was brilliant. Because the analysis really is flipping the long-held conservative viewpoint that government can do nothing wrong, nothing right, and that the private enterprise will always do it better. Well, if that's true, then there would be no danger. And you can't really have it both ways.
Did you agree with him when he said he was fine with accepting the argument that, in fact, the private market could make some improvements, but he was going to sort of wait and see proof of that before he agreed that that was the case?
I think that's fine. His wait and let's examine this and see how things work. And if they work, let's keep it. If they don't, let's change it. I think that is the correct approach. Anyone who's drawing an ideological line in the sand at this point about healthcare reform really is defeating the process of reform in and of itself. You can't take a strong position and then hold that position no matter what facts come out.
Charles, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also, of course, reach us via email. That goes to think@kera.org. Let's go next to Julian in Dallas. Hey, Julian.
Hi, Chris. I'm basically parroting your first caller. I was very pleased to hear the president ridiculing the circular and convoluted logic that the right is employing to say, on the one hand, that the government can't efficiently run a healthcare system, and yet they're going to drive all private health providers or insurance providers out of business. And as far as pleased with the president and what he's doing, I think he's a measured man whose accomplishments come from a very steady approach, and it's a great improvement over his predecessor.
What do you think, Julian, about the surveys that find that the majority of Americans say, yes, we want some kind of health care reform, and many are even willing to pay more for it? Criticism of those studies have said that when the rubber hits the road and when people actually look and see that they're the ones who are paying more, they are, in fact, less willing to take on that expense.
I think that the 80 to 85% of the Americans who want some form of public health plan need to be listened to, and I'm self-employed, and I pay upwards of $7,500 for coverage on myself alone.
Wow.
The reason Medicare is in the red is because we choose not to pay for it through taxation. if we would, you know, bite the bullet and realize that we can get health coverage for almost everyone in this country, if not everyone. I mean, all we need to do is pay for it the way other nations, the way every other Western democracy pays for it.
Julian, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Sure.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. That does open up a line. Let's go next to Ben in Dallas. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am an Iranian-American residing here in Dallas, and I just got off the phone with family members in Iran a couple of hours ago. I was shocked to hear that they did not know about these killings and about various demonstrations that is going on in various parts of the country, simply because 99% of the foreign media have been kicked out, and the domestic media is entirely controlled by the government, and they only show very minimal scenes of what's going on. I was even shocked to hear from my family members that they did not know about NEDA. They did not know about other killings that we have been seeing here on TV within the past week.
Ben, obviously they're talking to you and getting some information sort of filtered back through you. Have they reported anything? You know, we've heard a lot about this sort of Twitter phenomenon, where people in Iran, knowing that they can't necessarily trust official media sources, are creating their own networks to get information.
They did not know about that. That's another shocking news that I was totally surprised to hear that they just don't know. They just don't know. This uprising is entirely from within. But the sad part is, and I'm talking to the world, let the world know that the Iranian people inside the country, a vast majority of them, are deaf mute. They do not know what is going on around the world because there is nothing to report within except media that is controlled by the government.
Ben, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Have a good afternoon. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. That does open up a line. Let's go next to Ford in Richardson. Hi, Ford.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was actually just listening to your topic, and it's interesting about the American interference with the politics in Iran. And I think the stand that the president is taking is decent, is balanced. And I don't think we should jump into any conclusion anything happened overseas. Just like the gentleman was just talking a minute ago, even media and people living in Iran are actually mute and have a lot of pressure that they have to deal with. So I don't think it would be wise of the American government or the president to kind of have a stronger stand at this point, at least.
Thank you very much for your call.
Can I add one thing, please?
Sure, sure.
The thing that as being part of the Middle East, I think what most people kind of hold against America is the double standard. If America just hold one standard to deal with all Middle East, it will be easier to be accepted in the world, especially when it comes to affairs that has to do with Israel. Like we all noticed the violence that took place in Gaza and the thousands of people were killed and civilians. America didn't do anything. So most people from the world would think, why would they now have a stand against Iran? Why is it to some people, some government, and some others are overlooked? That's the only thing I would like to add.
Do you see President Obama moving toward a more generalized single standard for the entire region?
I think he has a strong reputation at this point because of the fact that he is well-spoken and have also a good character to present himself in the world. But still, people are still not 100% sure about him. They're kind of hesitant still to see what stance he will have with these international affairs that's taking place on a daily basis, and the mass and the economy challenge and all other aspects as well.
Ford, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
800-933-5372 is our number. We'll go next to Juan in Dallas. Hey, Juan.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make the point that we no longer have a warmonger as president. We have a person who is very thoughtful. He studies the issues. He's also looking to the future, as he says himself. And so he's not going to try to interfere in any way with what happens in Iran, except to show that he does have his democratic principles and he upholds those. And I think that's all he can do as president. I don't think that by threatening them, which we have done in the past, has helped at all. I was also very impressed with the fact that he knows what's going on. His talk, for example, about the Chilean president and the Brazilian president. So he's up to date on what's going on, and that's it makes it very, very reassuring for an American citizen to have a president of his stature.
Thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. An email from Ed, who is a KERA member in Dallas, says, "One may disagree with his ideology, but there is no mistaking his political acumen. He neither invites jingoism nor squelches his opposition. His clarity in explaining his position on the healthcare issues and his deftness in diplomacy from the Oval Office over Iran are amazing." Let's go back now to the phones, and this time we will go out to Murphy and speak with Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. I would like to just speak on the healthcare issue. I think one thing that would be helpful not only to those of us who are, let's say, middle-aged, but also to those of us who are trying to raise a healthy generation, is to have healthcare more geared toward a preventative measure as opposed to what do we do now after we've lived a life with bad habits, whether we have opted to smoke like a train, eat like a pig, or drink like a fish. And then we want to now have a healthcare system that covers everything. And it may be late for some people, including myself on some issues, but I really think that we need to start looking at how do we prevent, as well as to incent a whole new generation of Americans to live a healthy lifestyle so that we're not only bankrupting our country, but we have the ability to bankrupt our families. And I think that is so important. And, of course, the president today, for my first time I've heard him say, even though I knew he was a smoker, but for him to acknowledge what a struggle it is, because in my own family, out of 6 out of the 7 people that have died in my family within the last 7 years have all been smokers. And it was just really trying for them to try to quit. But there was also no real incentive, even when cigarettes went up to what I would think would be a prohibitive cost. It still was no incentive for them to stop smoking. That's what I would like for us to do as Americans.
Would
take charge of our health.
Rhonda, would you want to see, if we have some kind of universal or near-universal health care policy, would you want to see coverage tied to people's individual behaviors and coverage denied if someone is a lifelong smoker or has reached an obese weight?
Well, I wouldn't like to see coverage necessarily denied because I think that's very punitive, but I would like to see an incentive base. For instance, my husband's company, every year if we take a wellness test over the Internet, we can get a 10% discount on our insurance, which is a great thing to do for 45 minutes to get 10% off. But I think they have that information from year to year. Wouldn't it be nice if we could show some change from year to year to incent us to save even more on our insurance? I'm very nervous about saying I'm not going to cover someone because they've made bad lifestyle choices. I'd rather for us to be incented to
Great.
Do better.
Rhonda, thank you so much for your call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Our number is 800-933-5372. Let's go next to Paul in McKinney. Hi, Paul.
Hi, this is Paul Key.
Hi.
I wanted to respond to a couple of the callers were commenting about. I didn't hear the actual speech, but Obama was basically saying, well, hey, let government compete with private business, and if government's as bad as conservatives say it is, it won't compete, and they'll win out. The problem with that argument is government can subsidize itself. It doesn't have a bottom line. So if you had a private provider, on the one hand, that charges $100 for a service, the government to the public could offer the same service for $50, even though it might cost the government on the back end $200 to provide the service. So because of that, they could drive the private people out of business, even though it's costing a lot more money to do it.
Do you suspect, Paul, that that's the intention behind having the government competing essentially with private industry for healthcare dollars and healthcare business?
Is that the intention?
Mm-hmm.
No. But is that what will happen? Yes. Look at what government does. Medicare, for example, is basically just a government-run insurance company. There's more fraud and waste, and I don't have the exact statistics, but there's a lot much more fraud and waste in Medicare than with any private insurer. Why? Because it's the government running it. And every time the government gets into running anything, whether it was telephones back in the early 1900s or anything they've gotten into, look at Amtrak.
Yeah, Paul, you've made some excellent points. I do need to move on, but I really appreciate your thoughtful remarks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have an email next from Christine who writes, "It seems the White House press corps is still failing us. Iran is the top story. His position has been clear all along, and there were still too many questions about that and not enough about either the energy plan, the healthcare plan, and not a single question about Afghanistan. Shame on them." That, again, was an email to think@kera.org. Let's go next to Jamal in Dallas. Hello, Jamal.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have a comment about what's going on in Iran, and my comment is this. I have my opinion about this double standard and this, hypocrisy about the politics, about what's going on in, overseas, especially in the Iranian issue. And as we know, this the revolution of Iran, it established 1979. And the majority of people, they choose the way how to rule themselves. So now my point is this: why this community international, they don't say nothing about what's going on in Gaza? Like a few months ago, like more than 1,300 people lost their life. Most of them are children, women. So what is this community international? Where is the United States? Where is European, where is all this, who talks about democracy and freedom? And now, about what's going on in Iran, we see just one woman, she died like two days ago, and about what,
So you'd like to see more aggressive U.S. intervention in Iran?
No. What I'm saying about this double standard, why did you say that about the action, military action, what the Zionists do in Palestine, now they want to, focusing about Iran. And I'm sure the Iranians, they have experience and they're going to escape this, trouble what the foreigner policy they're doing now in Iran.
Right.
This is my point, and that's what the most people, American and European, they don't know.
Yeah, Jamal, I appreciate it. I'm out of time, but I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. We do have time for one final email, and that will come from Paul in Terrell, who says, "I think the president was right not to let himself be pinned down about the consequences in Iran. We have a shabby history of making false promises to would-be rebels in oppressive countries, starting with Hungary in 1956 and going on to the promises to help Kurds after the first Gulf War." I want to remind you again, thank you all of you who have called in and contributed to our open lines commenting on the president's news conference. We are planning to reschedule our interview with PETA president and founder Ingrid Newkirk. Her new book is called The PETA Practical Guide to Animal Rights. We will have an interview with her coming up sometime within the next few weeks. Again, thank you for listening and participating in the brief show this hour. My name is Chris Boyd. Have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.